At University of Phoenix, we know you've had a master's degree on your mind. But did you know that your experience can help you earn a competency-based master's in less than a year for under $11,000? Stop thinking and start doing. Learn more at phoenix.edu.
It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, I have an interview with Andrew Pasquini. Andrew is the co-host of the Spread Right Option podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting San Francisco 49ers content. He is also a writer for the website Niners Nation. The website is ran by SB Nation as it provides 49ers news. In the interview, we discussed the 49ers game against the Seahawks. Also, we talked the Trey Lance injury, Jimmy Garoppolo, San Francisco's next game, which is the big Week 3 Sunday night matchup against the Denver Broncos, and so much more. So the interview with Andrew is coming up. Plus, we have a preview of Week 3 and Week 3's game picks in the National Football League. So as always, should be a fun show. As always, the NFL season is underway, and definitely it's been exciting so far. Never a dull moment. Plenty of exciting games. So definitely we've got the preview of Week 3's games, and of course, we also have the big interview that's coming up. But first, let's give you a recap of the most important games from Week 2 in the National Football League. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs come back to beat Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, Herbert suffered a rib injury towards the end of the game, but in the end, this game would belong to the Chiefs. Chiefs beat the Los Angeles Chargers 27-24. Also, we had the New England Patriots going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Close game in the Steel City, but New England holds on to win 17-14. A lot of fisticuffs thrown in this Tampa Bay Buccaneers and New Orleans Saints NFC South matchup. Started off very dull for much of the contest, but after the Evans-Lattimore situation, Tom Brady was able to get a couple of touchdowns in. Bucks beat the Saints 20-10. The Seattle Seahawks squared off against the San Francisco 49ers. Trey Lance suffered an injury, devastating ankle injury, done for the year. In comes Jimmy Garoppolo. The 49ers handled their business, beating their NFC South rival Seattle Seahawks 27-7. The Cincinnati Bengals square off against the Dallas Cowboys. Brett Maher's game-winning field goal gives the boys a victory over the Bengals. Dallas wins 20-17. Sunday Night Football saw the NFC North rivalry between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers continuing to own the Chicago Bears as the Packers beat the Bears 27-10. The doubleheader on Monday Night Football with the Tennessee Titans going up against the Buffalo Bills. It was all Buffalo. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs handling their business. Buffalo took care of Tennessee 41-7. And then the second game of the doubleheader had the Minnesota Vikings going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. No brotherly love in Philly shown as the Eagles took care of the Vikings thanks to Jalen Hurts. And, of course, thanks to Darius Slay and a couple of interceptions from him, Eagles took care of the Vikings 24-7. And those were your scores from the most important games from Week 2 in the NFL. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with the situation that went down with Mike Evans and Marcus Lattimore in the Week 2 contest between Tampa Bay and New Orleans. First things first, for those of you that may have been living under a rock, in the game, in the Bucs game against the Saints, Evans was ejected after getting into a fight with Marshawn Lattimore in the early part of the fourth quarter. Evans shoved Lattimore to the turf after Evans' teammate Leonard Fournette shoved Lattimore after Lattimore exchange words with Tom Brady. Now, if you've been knowing about the Bucs and the Saints, it's in the last 6 years. You know it's always been in an intense rivalry. We'll call it a rivalry. But it seems like since 2016, Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore, they have always gotten into it, whether it be physically or verbally. It's never a dull moment between these two. And as a result of the incident, Evans was suspended one game. He appealed the suspension, but the suspension was upheld. So Mike Evans will miss Tampa Bay's next game in Week 3 against the Green Bay Packers. I think with such an intense rivalry game, we've seen a lot of intense high-drama rivalry games so early in the season. We've only completed 2 weeks of the NFL season, but, man, it has been hot and it has been heavy. But when you have New Orleans and Tampa Bay, and especially when you have Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore, it is truly never a dull moment. Now, I think the league did a good job of suspending Evans, but I think Lattimore should have received the suspension as well. I think there were so many other elements that led to the incident that had happened. I mean, bottom line is this. In the National Football League, you don't put your hands on one another, and that's what happens. You have to suffer the consequences, and you, as they say, you do the crime, you have to do the time, unfortunately. But, man, hopefully what I can say is this, that the Saints play each other again later this year in Tampa. Hopefully Evans can hold his emotions. Hopefully Marshawn Lattimore, because Marshawn is an emotional person as well, and he's been known in the past to not keep it together. He's cost the Saints some very important games, getting some horrible penalties. When these two teams play again later in the year, I am hoping and I'm praying that Mike and Marshawn can kind of be on their best behavior, because, man, that situation could have been worse. Because once Evans shoved Lattimore to the turf, and when they got into it, both benches had cleared, and that could have been a very dangerous situation. So hopefully when they play each other later in the year, hopefully things will be a little bit subdued, so to speak. My next storyline is going to be the injury to Trey Lance. During the offseason, the San Francisco 49ers had their issues with wide receiver Deebo Samuel and the contract. First, he asked for a trade, and then the New York Jets were interested in him. But then after that, they said, you know what? They've got the number one pick. We're going to roll with who we have. So that being said, the 49ers stepped up. John Lynch and management, they were able to get an extension done for Deebo Samuel. So that problem was taken care of. And another problem that was taken care of was the quarterback situation. Jimmy G restructured his contract for 1 year. Trey Lance comes in, is given the keys to the car, and Trey becomes the starting quarterback. We've only been in the 2022 NFL season for 2 weeks, and Trey Lance suffered a devastating season-ending ankle injury. And, man, I won't say this puts them back, but I would say that the development is going to have – they're going to have to wait another year, maybe 2 years, before Trey will see really the best of Trey Lance. Now, if there's any silver lining to this, is that it's Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy has taken the 49ers to several NFC championship games, including a Super Bowl, losing in a close one to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the only problem is Trey spreads the field out more than Jimmy. Trey has arm strength. He's got athletic ability. He's not as accurate as Jimmy, but Trey can open up a lot of plays on the offensive side with his athletic ability. So while we wait to see Trey Lance in his full development for the next year, the 49ers faithful out there will have to settle for Jimmy Garoppolo, which is not bad. Again, the offense changes because Jimmy is not as athletic as Trey, but still Jimmy has that experience. And we'll talk more about that in the next segment in the interview I have coming up with Andrew Pasquini. But tough break for Trey. Good news is that he's going to be back better than ever. The 49ers are going to rock and roll. And until then, the 49ers offense is going to be in good hands with Jimmy Garoppolo. And so my last storyline is going to be Brett Favre. When you think of one of the most impactful players in the history of the National Football League, one of the greatest free agents of all time, you think of Brett Favre. Favre, three-time league MVP, Super Bowl winner, multiple Pro Bowls. I mean, five in just about every passing category in the national history of the National Football League. Unfortunately, the QB has been in hot water. He's been in hot water for a long time throughout his career, but man, he is in some extremely hot water. He's been involved in this lawsuit involving the state of Mississippi, where it was reported that Favre had stolen money from an organization or a fund, a welfare fund that was devoted to helping the poor and disenfranchised people of the state of Mississippi. This was through the TANF, which is the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. Favre was paid out $1.1 million out of those funds. And Favre's company, Favre was supposed to make two speaking appearances. He did not make that. And then that's where the whole investigation began, where the state of Mississippi did this big audit with Brett Favre and several other high-profile people, such as Ted DiBiase, his son Ted Jr., also Brett DiBiase, his other son, and Marcus Dupree, along with Favre, were all involved in this welfare fund scandal for these funds that were supposed to go to the poor and disenfranchised in the state of Mississippi. Now, here's the deal. Brett knows better. Again, Brett Favre's net worth, he made over $100 million in his NFL career. And then Brett has been a spokesperson for companies such as Nike, Snapper, Remington, Sears, Prilosec, also Copperfit, Wrangler Jeans, just to name a few. So Brett has money. He has money. He had the money to pay for, and by the way, in addition to being paid $1.1 million that he did not make, also additional funds were made to him in order to pay for a volleyball arena for his alma mater at the University of Southern Mississippi in Hattiesburg. So, I know a lot of media outlets have not really discussed this and gone into full detail. And this man has made a lot of money throughout his NFL career, not just his NFL career, but through his whole endorsement career, point blank period. And you got to remember, when you're talking about Mississippi, I know this is not a political program, but Mississippi is the poorest state in the union. Mississippi has been a state that's been impacted by so much for decades. And they're recently in the news, and as this show is going on, the city of Jackson, Mississippi, still doesn't have any clean water. And this is just so sad. So when you have these problems going on in the city of Jackson, where they still don't have clean water, and now you have a former NFL quarterback who has been rich for well over four decades, and now you're stealing from the poor and disenfranchised. This is just sad. This is just really sad. And then to make matters worse, there were text messages when the lawsuit happened involving the state of Mississippi, that there were text messages that were used as evidence that Favre had with former governor Phil Bryant. I think this is going to be a tarnish in his legacy, but people, I'm surprised that a lot of your major media outlets have not made a big deal about this. And again, football-wise, Brett Favre, he's been phenomenal. His football career is phenomenal. But this is going to be a stain on his legacy, and I don't know what could repair this. I mean, there's no excuse for this when you're stealing from poor and disenfranchised. That's just not right at all. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Andrew Pasquini. He's the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting San Francisco 49ers content. He is also a writer for the website Niners Nation. The website is ran by SB Nation as it provides 49ers news. Andrew is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wrapper.
Whether you're looking for a home mortgage loan, home equity loan, construction loan, or a land loan, Patterson State Bank will put out the welcome mat. Patterson State Bank has been your trusted community mortgage lender since 1925, with our home loan specialists available to help you every step of the way. You can even start the process online at PattersonStateBank.com. find yourself right at home with the mortgage services of Patterson State Bank.
It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
At the United States Postal Service, we deliver fast and affordably for small biz, big box, large scale, wholesale, retail, B2B, B2C, ASAP. USPS, delivering for America. Learn more at usps.com/delivering.
Street King's got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
They're going to go with Trey Lance on this play as he kept it and absorbed quite the hit. Cody Barton and Brian Monet both teamed up to put it on Trey Lance. And Lance is down right now. That was quite the hit. But on that power run, Lance is down, and Jimmy Garoppolo may see early action today in the first quarter. Trey Lance is going to have to exit on the cart. And he's got the air cast on that right leg. He's being carted off the field. Off the play fake. Garoppolo, he's got a tight end. It is Ross Dwelly, and Ross Dwelly lunging in for the touchdown. Quarterback sneak, Jimmy Garoppolo puts it away for San Francisco. Off the bench, in for Lance, who got hurt in the first quarter, and Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the NFL on Fox and the National Football League. And, of course, you heard at the beginning, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Trey Lance suffering a devastating ankle injury in the first quarter of the game against the Seattle Seahawks. We know the story about him, done for the year, had surgery, and he'll be ready for the 2023 season. But Jimmy Garoppolo came in and threw a touchdown pass and scored a rushing touchdown in the win over the Seattle Seahawks from week two. To talk more about Trey and Jimmy G, as well as the game against the Seahawks and the Niners' next game against the Denver Broncos, we got to welcome him back to the program. Always insightful when it comes to the 49ers. He's the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. It's the podcast dedicated to covering the San Francisco 49ers. Let's welcome him back to the program, Andrew Pasquini. Hey, Andrew, what's going on, my man?
How you doing, Ed? It's been a while. Everything's been good, though. Having a good time. How you been?
Oh, man, I'm doing well, sir. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us program. So let's get right to it. We're going to get more into the Jimmy G and the Trey Lance situation at the moment, but just give me your takeaways from the Niners' victory over the division rival Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate with the Trey Lance and the Jimmy Garoppolo situation that's kind of high. That's been the big story out of the Niners' win over the Seahawks. When really the conversation should be about the defense. The 49ers defense absolutely stifled the Seahawks offense. Seattle only had 216 total yards. They had two turnovers, a nice interception by Tashaun Gibson off of a Talanoa Hufanga pass breakup. Niners intercepted Smith once. And then Seattle ran the very interesting Dallas pass play where they had four running backs in the backfield. He threw it directly to Mooney Ward for the second interception. The Niners' defense was so stifling. Of the 47 plays Seattle ran, by my count, only eight were in 49er territory. Seattle did nothing offensively, and the defense essentially pitched a shutout. I know the score's 27-7, but Seattle's lone touchdown was on a blocked field goal return for a touchdown in the third quarter. So the defense didn't allow Seattle's offense to really get anything going. Not that Seattle's offense was much of a threat, because even after their week one victory against the Denver Broncos, that their offense didn't score a single point in the second half. They started hot and were able to hold on against Denver. Seattle didn't get that hot start against the 49ers, and they really didn't get anything going. The other important thing for the Niners as well is they only committed one penalty, which was a pass interference for 26 yards. A large reason why they lost to the Chicago Bears in week one is because they committed 12 penalties, which was more than any game in 2021. So the Niners' defense really showed up, and that was a large part why they won. But the not committing 12 penalties was a huge thing for the Niners as well.
Yeah, you're right about the Niners' defense, and I know we're going to get into the whole quarterback situation with the Niners, but man, the 49ers defense handled their business with Nick Bosa and company. We'll talk more about that a little bit later, but I want to get into Trey Lance. What an offseason it was for the 49ers. They had the whole Deebo Samuel situation. They were able to get the contract extension for him, and then they gave the keys to Trey to become the starting quarterback. Jimmy G got his contract restructured, and now he's currently on a one-year deal. Well, week two against Seattle, Trey injury, done for the year, had surgery. So now, what were your thoughts before the injury had happened? What were your thoughts when you heard that Trey was going to become the starting quarterback for the Niners?
It really put the 49ers in a unique situation because they have a Super Bowl roster. They have a team that can go deep into the postseason. They've shown it with Jimmy Garoppolo, but they made the decision to almost go, I'm not going to call it a rebuild, but the choice to go to Trey Lance in 2022, it's one that made sense because they traded three first-round picks to get Trey Lance. At some point, the Niners needed to take advantage of his rookie contract in the 4 years. So the move was almost a move for the future for Trey Lance to start this year. So it made the Niners a team that were rebuilding while also having a Super Bowl roster. And it made sense because Jimmy Garoppolo, for as much as he wins, people like to talk about how he's a winning quarterback. He did limit the offense a bit because he does struggle throwing the ball deep. He has these struggles. He's very limited in what he can do. Trey Lance felt like he could open up the Kyle Shanahan offense a little bit with his big arm, with his legs, things like that. So it really put the Niners in a weird situation where you felt like they could be a playoff contender, but they were almost stunting their full talent in order to get Trey Lance reps for the future. So it put them in a weird situation. It was a move I was behind because the ceiling was obviously there with Jimmy Garoppolo. They were good enough to get to the big games in February, but not quite enough to win them. Trey Lance is very much an unknown. The Niners were going to use 2022 in order to find out what he actually was and try and develop him from there. Obviously, that's not going to happen from there. So does this make the Niners better in 2022? It might not. I don't know. But the big thing the Trey Lance injury hurts is the future of the San Francisco 49ers, because 2022, they were going to be okay going through the rust patches that having a 22-year-old quarterback was going to have, and then go from there in 2023. Now the whole process is delayed by another year, and now the 49ers have missed two seasons of Trey Lance's 4 years of his contract that you get when you're a rookie. So it puts the Niners in a bind in the future. What it means for 2022, I do not know yet.
Well, let's stay now with the current 2022 season. So we know Trey is going to be ready for next season, but they have a familiar face back at the quarterback position in Jimmy Garoppolo. So we mentioned about Jimmy G taking the Niners to a Super Bowl, NFC Championship games. You mentioned, of course, Jimmy G is a liability in terms of not really opening up the offense for the Niners. I mean, he's effective when he needs to be, but he doesn't have that deep ball. But he is familiar to that offense. So, Andrew, where do the Niners stand now? Because they know Jimmy G, as far as offensively is concerned, what do you think is going to happen now? Do you think that Kyle Shanahan and the offensive squad, they're going to change some things around in the playbook to cater to Jimmy G?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's huge conversation on 49ers Twitter and 49ers fans on the usage of Trey Lance. They think the way Kyle Shanahan was using Trey Lance led to the injury. They thought he was running too much up the middle. And you saw almost instantly during the game, the 49ers, the game plan it was very obvious it changed. Because in the 6 or 7 plays before Trey Lance got injured, the 49ers went run, 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 run. So that's 6 consecutive runs, the 6th consecutive run being Trey Lance's injury. Jimmy Garoppolo comes in on a 3rd and 6. His first play is a pass play. Obviously, it's a 3rd and 6, so you're going to throw the ball. But the Niners on their next drive, they come out, they open with 4 of the next 5 plays being passes after utilizing Trey Lance's legs more than his arm. So obviously the run aspect of the quarterback position is gone now with what Jimmy Garoppolo is. It's going to go back to more of what the offense was, safe, quick plays that allow Jimmy Garoppolo 1 or 2 reads, so he's not going to stretch the field. What was interesting, though, is we did see Jimmy Garoppolo take a couple of shots. He had two passes deeper than 20 yards. He had 4 passes that were in between 10 to 20. He usually sits in that 10 to 20 area, but the 2 passes for 20 plus, he had another deep shot as well that actually resulted in a Brandon Ayuk pass interference. So Jimmy Garoppolo was definitely pushing the field a little bit. It almost felt as if Kyle Shanahan didn't have a game plan installed for Jimmy Garoppolo because he was expecting to use Trey Lance. But I wouldn't be surprised to see if the Niners go back to the offense where it's Jimmy Garoppolo running the ball more often than not with Jeff Wilson. Tyrion Davis-Price, obviously he's hurt, so he's not going to run. It's going to be Jordan Mason and Marlon Mack now. And just short, quick passes, a lot of Deebo Samuel screenplays, things like that. So that's the biggest change. And the change is it's just going to go back to normal what the Niners have run the past 2 or 3 years with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, it's definitely talk about a change of pace when you've gone full speed ahead with Trey Lance and he had the injury. But Jimmy Garoppolo is experienced and he knows the offense and he knows the players and the squad that he has, as you mentioned, with Deebo Samuel and also with Jeff Wilson in the mix as well. Of course, you can't forget about at the fullback position with Kyle Juszczyk. So now with Trey done for the year, Jimmy G came in and had a rushing touchdown and also a touchdown pass. So Jimmy Garoppolo handled his business in the filling in for Trey Lance and taking over for the rest of the year. You mentioned about the running game, Andrew. Jeff Wilson, I'm looking at the stats here, 18 carries for 84 yards. I mean, that's what San Francisco's done best for a while, just do their thing in the running department. Just give me your thoughts on Jeff and how he played.
Yeah, Jeff Wilson was consistent, and that's about what you can expect for him. He's mainly been a rotational player for the 49ers, which has been interesting because he has been consistent when he starts. I believe Sunday was only his 10th start with the 49ers in his 5 years with the team. In the nine starts before Sundays, he's averaged about 17 carries for 81 yards. So what did you get out of Jeff Wilson on Sunday? 18 carries for 84 yards. So it's about what you expect from him as a starter. He's consistent. He runs physical. He feels like the maybe a little more speed, but he feels like the prototypical Kyle Shanahan running back. You wish he was a little better in pass protection. He's fine as it is. Jeff Wilson is solid. He's consistent. He's going to get you 4 yards per carry, as can any running back, really, in a Kyle Shanahan offense. He has good ball security, so he's about what you expect from a Kyle Shanahan running back. Deebo Samuel is still going to be involved in carries as well. The running game is going to be pretty open, and it might be Jeff Wilson's backfield from here on, because now Tyrion Davis-Price is dealing with a high ankle sprain. He's out at least a month. You have Elijah Mitchell. He's out 2 months. Jeff Wilson might be the running back one for the Niners, and that puts Kyle Shanahan in a unique situation because he usually has 3 or 4 running backs he could use. Even if you look at Sunday, Wilson had 18 carries. Davis-Price had 14 carries, pretty evenly distributed. Now the running back room is Jeff Wilson, rookie Jordan Mason, who hasn't gotten a carry this season. He was impressive in the preseason, but has not gotten a carry in the regular season. And Marlon Mack, who was a Houston Texan just 2 weeks ago, he was signed to the Niners practice squad, and now he's been signed to the active roster. So this might be the Jeff Wilson show, and if he can give you 4.5, 5 yards of carry, it's going to work. He's not going to be an explosive runner. Expect more of that from Deebo Samuel. But Jeff Wilson, if you can sit in that 4, 4.5, 5 yards of carry, he's going to get the job done.
All right, I want to move along now to the receiving side of the ball. Brandon Ayuk, I know since I've been having you on the program, Andrew, you talked about how Brandon is slowly developing into a quality receiver for San Francisco. Brandon, in his game against Seattle, he had 5 catches for 63 yards. Give me your thoughts on Brandon and his play in the game.
Yeah, Brandon Ayuk, he's a receiver that probably should be talked about a little bit more in the NFL. He's fallen behind Deebo Samuel for obvious reasons. Deebo Samuel is a bit more explosive. But when you look at pure receiving ability, I still believe Brandon Ayuk is the best receiver on the 49ers. He got a deep target on Sunday. He actually got 2 deep targets. As I said, one was called back on a pass interference, or it wasn't called back. The Niners were awarded the yards on a pass interference, so it didn't count as a target. He did have a drop on what was Jimmy Garoppolo's best throw of the game. It was a back shoulder throw, 10 to 15, or maybe even 20 yards downfield. Ayuk couldn't quite bring it in, but other than that, he was Garoppolo's most trusted receiver. He was 5 for 5, Garoppolo was 4 for 4 in passes underneath 10 yards. Ayuk was able to gain 49 yards on those short passes. So the key is with Ayuk is to give him the space to run. You can have him stretch the field every so often. He has that ability. But anywhere from that 5 to 15 yards downfield area, that's where you want to hit Ayuk because he's dangerous in that free space. Garoppolo obviously trusted in that. He was, as I said, 4 for 4 in short passes with Ayuk. I think the injury to Trey Lance benefits Ayuk in the passing game as well, because I think with what Lance is going to try and do is stretch the field a little bit more. And as I said, Ayuk he kills in those short passing situations. So I'm interested to see if he's targeted more or less with Garoppolo now than he was with Lance in the previous games. I'm excited to see where Ayuk goes. He's shown improvement, especially after last season when he barely got snaps the first part of the season. Now he's the Niners' second most trusted receiver in a receiving core that has some issues. It's very top-heavy with Jennings, Ayuk, and Samuel. Brandon Ayuk, I still believe he has that potential to become the 49ers' first receiver, or wide receiver one.
Yeah, definitely. Brandon Ayuk definitely has the potential to make that happen. And speaking of potential, Deebo Samuel, one of the rising stars in the NFL and one of the top receivers in the league. Deebo Samuel, what an interesting offseason that he had. He had a lot of football fans such as myself and a lot of 49ers fans in a limbo saying that he had a trade request. He wasn't going to show up to camp. He wanted the new contract, especially with the Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill situations, both of them you know, both of them setting off the market value for wide receivers. But Debo got his contract extension, and it's all good in the Bay. And Debo had four carries for 53 yards, and he had five catches for 44 yards in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Debo and his play against the Seahawks.
Well, his four carries for 53 yards, it's a little bit of a lie because one of those carries went for 51 yards. So he really had three carries for 2 yards with one being 51 yards. But that 51-yard run just shows you how good Debo Samuel is just as a ball carrier. He was stopped in the backfield. He had to cut back. There's a point where there's three Seahawks in front of him near the line of scrimmage, and he somehow found the space to get downfield for 51 yards. He's easily the Niners' most explosive player on offense, and I'm curious to see how he's going to be used with Jimmy Garoppolo now, because I was surprised he was used as much of a runner as he was in week one against the Bears, because the whole rumor over the offseason, you mentioned the contract negotiation, was he wasn't happy with his role in the offense in terms of how he was used as a running back. He wanted to be paid like a receiver because he saw the contracts that, as you said, Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams got. The Niners put a lot of escalators in there for rushing totals, and I thought those escalators were going to be a limit almost for how the Niners would use him. But that hasn't been the case. They've used him as a running back as much as they did last year already through the first 2 weeks. Week one as a receiver, Debo Samuel is a bit concerning. He was targeted 7 times, only 2 receptions, but he had 2 drops as well. So that was a little concerning. He looked better on Sunday, 5 receptions for 44 yards on 6 targets. I don't think he had a drop off the top of my head. So he looks better there. But what he does for the 49ers offense, the fact that he wasn't as much in consideration for offensive player of the year as he was, for what he did for the 49ers offense, not just as a receiver, but as a running back. It's amazing to me that he didn't get as much consideration. This year, it looks like he's back. 13.3 yards per carry is insane for a running back, but he's a receiver. And that's something I think people lose a little bit with how often we've seen him running the ball. He's going to be important to the Niners offense this year. It's been apparent the first 2 weeks, and that was obvious entering the season, but now with the injuries to the running back, he's going to have to be leaned on as a running back once again. So we'll see what year two of offensive weapon Debo Samuel looks like. It's been promising in the run game. Week one was a little rough in the receiving game, looked better in week two. So we'll see where it goes from here. But Debo Samuel, there's the thing with the NBA when there's a league pass alert, when you're watching an NBA game and Giannis is playing, something like that. Debo Samuel is a red zone alert. If the Niners are on and you have a chance to watch them on red zone, any second you get a chance to watch Debo Samuel's must-watch TV, because you don't know how he's going to be used, but it's going to be electric. He is such an electrifying player for the 49ers offense. I'm excited to see what year two of, as they say, wide back Debo Samuel looks like.
I want to stay with Debo for a moment. That offseason was very intense for a lot of 49ers fans. Confident, or were you cautiously optimistic that Debo would stay with the 49ers?
I was concerned up until the Jets made the 10th pick in the draft, because the big rumor was the Jets were the team to watch for Debo Samuel, and it made sense. The Jets had the 4th and the 10th pick in the 2022 NFL draft. It was a team that would make sense. The only way the Niners were to trade Debo Samuel is if they were to be blown away by a trade. And that's what it would have taken, is the 10th pick or the 4th pick, or best case, maybe both picks, to get Debo Samuel. The Jets never came really close. The biggest rumor may have been they might have offered the 10th pick, but it was included to have a swap pick for the 49ers' second-round pick. The Niners valued that second-round pick, and I don't think they wanted to lose any picks that involved a Debo Samuel trade. So if it was the 4th or the 10th pick for Debo Samuel in some capacity where the Niners didn't lose the pick, I could have seen the Niners make the move because they would have had to have been blown away, and getting a top 10 pick is a blow-away offer. The second the Jets made their selection at 10, I was very confident the 49ers would get something done. It's not like the Niners to not get something done. The one case that it didn't get done was when they traded DeForest Buckner to the Colts, but that was another situation where outside of Aaron Donald, can you think of a defensive tackle in the NFL that would fetch a top 10 pick? Or excuse me, a first round pick? I don't think so. The Niners got the 12th pick for DeForest Buckner. That's why that contract never came to fruition. But you look at guys like Fred Warner and especially George Kittle. George Kittle, when he signed his extension, that was closer to camp, just like the Deebo Samuel contract was signed. After the Jets made their 10th pick, I was never concerned Deebo Samuel was going to leave. It was a matter of when, not if. And the Niners got the job done, and Deebo Samuel's here for at least the next 4 years, and that's a good thing for the 49ers.
It's a great thing, not just for the 49ers, but football fans. Like you said, man, Deebo is so fun and so exciting to watch. Whether he's lining up at wide receiver or at running back, it's just never a dull moment with him. I want to move along now to the defensive side of the ball. And you mentioned about Talanoa Hufanga, who had 5 tackles in this game against Seattle. Just give me your thoughts on his play.
Yeah, Talanoa Hufanga, I was concerned about him entering the regular season this year. The 49ers had a very well-established safety duo with Jimmy Ward and Jaquaski Tart. Jimmy Ward and Jaquaski Tart were the last two 49ers to play under Jim Harbaugh, who was let go by the Niners, or excuse me, a mutual agreement to leave the 49ers in 2014. So they've been around for a while. The Niners let Jaquaski Tart go in favor of the 5th-round pick in 2021. And I never doubted Talanoa Hufanga's ability in the box. He's very good in the run game near the line of scrimmage. The concern was his coverage. He wasn't great in terms of coverage in 2021. And if you remember, the 49ers lost the game in 2021 to the Arizona Cardinals when both James Conner and Kyler Murray were out and Colt McCoy was the starting quarterback. It felt like a free win for the 49ers. But with both Jimmy Ward and Jaquaski Tart out, the Cardinals won that game, and Talanoa Hufanga was not great in that game. In 2022, not only has Hufanga been great around the line, I think he already has 4 tackles for loss in 2022 and 14 tackles. He's been really good in the passing game. In coverage in 2 games so far on 6 targets, he's allowing a passer rating against of 2.8. He has been amazing in coverage. He led to Deshaun Gibson interception in week 2. He actually got both hands. It should have been a Hufanga interception, but he tipped it instead of caught it. And then in week 1, he intercepted Justin Fields. Through 2 games, he's been phenomenal. This is what the Niners have needed out of the safety position. Tart in coverage. He was great at the line. Where Jaquaski Tart struggled was forcing the turnovers, and there's a whole conversation to be had about how the Niners scheme their safeties and not really prioritizing the turnovers, but more good defense. Talanoa Hufanga definitely has that ball hawk in him. He's been around the ball twice, 2 pass breakups in week 2, an interception in week 1. Let's hope the trend continues. I still have some questions in coverage, but through 2 weeks, he's been phenomenal, so I can't really question it too much. We'll see how it looks against Denver and see how it looks like against the Broncos in the Rams in 2 weeks, 2 very good passing teams. So we'll see what he looks like then. Through 2 weeks, he's been phenomenal.
All right, and speaking of being phenomenal, Dre Greenlaw. Dre led the team in tackles with 6. He was all over the place making plays. Your thoughts on Dre and his play against Seattle?
Yeah, he was really good in week 2. He definitely looked very energized, and it came out after the game. He signed a 2-year extension with the San Francisco 49ers. He signed it before the game. That probably was why he looked a little more fired up. He knew he was locked in. He struggled in week 1. He was called for a couple bad penalties. The face mask on a run play that gave Chicago another first down that led to the St. Brown touchdown. He was called for a late hit against Justin Fields that gave Chicago a first down. He cleaned it up in week 2. He was less aggressive, and that sounds negative, but he's a very aggressive player. It leads to a lot of missed tackles. It leads to penalties like we saw in week 2. He kind of calmed down last week. He only missed 1 tackle after missing 1 last week, but he only made 5 tackles last week compared to 7 this week, so he was a little bit better. More opportunities. He was all over the place. He was also really good in coverage. He was targeted 7 times. He allowed 7 receptions, not great, but only 36 yards. So not great in terms of the percentage, but to only allow 5 yards per reception, he's allowing those short passes that the Seahawks were aiming for. Geno Smith wasn't going to beat the Niners, so the key was going to be keeping those short passes short and not allowing too many yards after those catches, and that's what Dre Greenlaw did. So he's here for at least another 2 seasons, a well-deserved extension. The Niners bypass his fifth-year option with it, or excuse me, not the fifth-year option. They extend him off of the 4-year rookie contract, and he performed well. So let's see how it continues, because there was definitely questions entering the season with him going up against Azeez Al-Shaair as the second linebacker. It looks like he's won that battle because he's gotten majority of the snaps compared to Al-Shaair. He definitely looked better in week 2 compared to week 1.
All right, and speaking of someone that's always amped up and fired up, I mean, this guy has just been everything and then some for the 49ers defense. Nick Bosa had 4 tackles and 2 sacks in this game against the Seahawks. I mean, Nick Bosa has been worth every penny since the 49ers drafted him a few years ago. Give me your thoughts on Nick and his play against Seattle.
Yeah, so a big conversation with the 49ers so far this season was their rebuilt offensive line, right? It was a highlighted thing, all that fun stuff. Seattle also rebuilt their offensive line. They have 2 rookies at tackle. Abrams started the game on right tackle for Seattle. Nick Bosa ate him alive. Bosa had 7 pressures, 2 sacks, 3 hits, 2 hurries. Really, the entire 49ers offensive line dominated. They combined for 18 pressures, the 2 Bosa sacks, 6 hits, and 9 hurries. Nick Bosa is easily the best player on this 49ers defense. He had a sack against the Bears in the previous week. He's already on pace. I know it's through 2 weeks, Ed, so let's not overreact. We're going to have fun. He's on pace to beat Michael Strahan's sack record already this early on. But we won't get too far ahead of ourselves. He's consistently been their best pass rusher. He's anytime there's a sack, Nick Bosa seems to be there. Whether or not he's credited with it, because he does get in the backfield so often, but more often than not, plays get opened up because of Bosa. Offensive linemen have to adjust for him, and that opens up situations for players like Samson Ebukam, rookie Drake Jackson, things like that. But every so often, there's going to be a game where Nick Bosa gets his numbers, and Sunday marks that. As I said, 7 pressures, 2 sacks. He was in the backfield all game. The Niners need him healthy. He's been healthy outside of 2020 when he tore his ACL. The Niners will go as far as Nick Bosa takes them. And in terms of the conversation, we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and his wins, and this is going to be a stretch comparing a quarterback to a defensive end. Bear with me here, Ed. We'll get there. We talk about Jimmy Garoppolo's ability to win games and all that stuff. Nick Bosa is what that actually is on the defense. The Niners' defense has a completely different edge when he's out there versus when he's not. He needs to be at some point in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't remember off the top of my head his finishes the previous years, but at some point Nick Bosa is going to win a Defensive Player of the Year. It might take Aaron Donald retiring at some point to really get there, because Aaron Donald, as long as he exists, he's the best player in the NFL. He's the best defensive player in the NFL. But at some point, Nick Bosa really needs to be put in consideration for a Defensive Player of the Year, because he's just that good.
Oh, yeah, Nick Bosa is more than good. He's been everything and then some for that Niner defense, and you mentioned about him winning a Defensive Player of the Year award in the future. Of course, Aaron Donald's still in his prime, and you can't forget about T.J. Watt from the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Those guys are definitely solid, quality defenders. All right, let's move along now to the Niners. They've got a big one on a Sunday Night Football against the Denver Broncos. Denver had their troubles in week 1 against the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson returned to the place where he played for 10 seasons. It fell short in that game due to some unforeseen circumstances, clock management and whatnot, and then a week 2 victory over the Houston Texans. Wasn't a great performance, but it was enough to get them over the hump and get that victory. Let's start off with the Broncos offense for a moment. The Niners, very familiar with Russell Wilson, had to go up against them for a while in that division. What do you think are going to be the keys for the 49ers to take down Russell Wilson and that Bronco offense?
What a horrible joke the NFL played on the NFL, first of all. They scheduled the Niners for their first game in the post-Russell Wilson era, week two against the Seattle Seahawks. First time in 10 years, the 49ers are playing the Seahawks without Russell Wilson, the quarterback who has hurt them many of many times. The 49ers get through that first game, and then the NFL says, oh, but by the way, in week three, remember that Russell Wilson guy? You're going to have to play him after not having to play him. So the Niners are lined up against the quarterback who hurt him, who hurt them for 10 years. In order to beat the Denver Broncos, they're going to have to contain Russell Wilson. And that feels like an interesting thing to say right now, because Russell Wilson has not been good these first 2 weeks, completing only 58% of his passes, 559 yards through 2 weeks, two touchdowns to one interception. There's a weird disconnect as well between Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett. Hackett's been really not aggressive with him. They've had a bunch of fourth and short, fourth and five situations in opponent territory where they've opted to go with field goals. So there's this very weird feeling between Hackett and Russell Wilson. Obviously, the Niners are very familiar with Wilson in terms of a Seahawks situation. They don't know what he looks like in terms of a Broncos quarterback, so we'll see what that looks like. What the 49ers are really going to have to watch, though, is the two-headed running back, Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. The two have combined for 44 carries for a little bit over 120 yards this season. They both had a goal line fumble, which was interesting, against Seattle. They both had goal line fumbles that easily could – the Broncos could be 2-0 if it weren't for those two fumbles. Those are the two most concerning players on the Broncos offense for me. I know they have great receivers in Cortland Sutton, and I know Jerry Jeudy's injury. We don't know where he is in terms of playing on Sunday. The 49ers secondary has been really, really good so far through two games, with Mooney Ward, Emmanuel Mosley. We mentioned Talanoa Hufanga, Samuel Womack as well. I'm not as much concerned as the Denver passing game as I am the rushing game. So we'll see what that looks like. But I'm just going to go with the big thing to watch is what Russell Wilson does against the Niners, because I've been saying it for 10 years now, every year, twice a year. So just out of habit, let's see how the Niners deal with Russell Wilson.
All right, let's move along now to the other side of the ball now with the 49ers offense and trying to get points against the Bronco defense. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for 49ers offense to get points against Denver's defense?
As it's going to be for this first stretch of the season is really what the 49ers offensive line looks like. They were really impressive against Seattle. They really gave the 49ers quarterbacks time to throw the ball. The Niners were getting good pushes on the running game. The 49ers offensive line features three new starters: Aaron Banks in his second year, Jake Brendel, who's been a journeyman center, and Spencer Burford, a rookie right guard. Aaron Banks has had a lot of questions around him. He was actually supposed to be the 49ers starting right guard last season. After he was drafted, the thoughts were the Niners were going to use him to start. He didn't really play in 2021. He had an okay week one, hits and misses here and there. He was really solid in week two against Seattle. So hopefully you see that progression from Aaron Banks. You also have Trent Williams, Mike McGlinchey. McGlinchey coming off the calf injury last year. The pass rush is going to be tough against the Broncos. Randy Gregory, Bradley Chubb, Draymond Jones, they all have at least one sack this season through 2 weeks. So we're going to see what McGlinchey looks like. You know you can trust Trent Williams. He's obviously the best offensive lineman in the league. We'll see what Mike McGlinchey looks like. So we'll see how the Niners offensive line deals with that. And I was excited not to have to talk about it, but here we are talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and his ability not to turn the ball over. The Niners offense will go as far as Jimmy Garoppolo takes him. If he makes a couple, as I like to call them, I think I used the term last year, I don't remember, oh no, no throws, where he doesn't see the underneath linebacker. He throws the ball right to the cornerback. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to avoid those, and the Niners are going to hope he can't turn the ball over. If he does not turn the ball over, this offense can go very far. But we've seen situations where Jimmy Garoppolo makes a few questionable throws, an interception here, a ball batted down at the line here. We'll see what Garoppolo looks like. So really the two keys for the Niners offense is that offensive line, and that's just going to kind of be what it is for the next few weeks with this offense. And if Jimmy Garoppolo turns the ball over or not, if he has no turnovers, the Niners probably will win this game. I think they're better than Denver as of right this second, but if Garoppolo's turning the ball over, that's where the issues come in for this offense.
All right, fair enough. And you heard it from him. He is Andrew Pasquini, the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast, which is dedicated to all things related to the San Francisco 49ers. Andrew, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So tell everybody what you and your co-host, Jason Aponte, have been doing over at the Sprint Right Option podcast and what's it all about.
Oh, yeah. So we have a podcast. We've been going on for about 2 years. We like to keep things light, have things fun. We break down the 49ers every week. We do reviews of the games on Monday. We preview the upcoming weekend game on Friday, so you can catch us this Friday, 5:30 p.m. on Jason Aponte's YouTube channel. You can also find the Sprint Right Option podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, whatever it may be, the Sprint Right Option podcast. And, Ed, I'm excited to announce as well that I've actually added writing to what I do. I am writing for NinersNation.com, SB Nation's 49ers blog. So you can find my weekly articles there as well.
All right. Well, congratulations on the gig with Niners Nation. So one more time, Andrew, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as your co-host, Jason Aponte. Also, where can they find the Sprint Right Option podcast and also Niners Nation as well?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Pasquini Andrew. Pasquini is P-A-S-Q-U-I-N-I, and then Andrew, the traditional spelling. You can follow my co-host Jason Aponte as well at Jason Aponte, A-P-O-N-T-E, 2103. The Sprint Right Option podcast comes out twice a week on YouTube, on Jason Aponte's YouTube channel. You just type in Jason Aponte on YouTube, he will pop up. Or if you don't want to watch the live show or can't watch the live video show, you can find us anywhere you get your podcast, Sprint Right Option podcast. And then, as I said, NinersNation.com. You get a lot of great content. Jason Aponte is writing for there as well. We have a lot of great writers on staff. You can find my articles at NinersNation.com.
All right, you heard it from him. He is Andrew Pasquini, the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. Alongside his colleague Jason Aponte, they give you all the things you need to know regarding the San Francisco 49ers. Also, check out his blogs. He's a writing at Niners Nation, which is powered by SB Nation. Andrew, thank you so much again, my man. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
All right, anytime you want me on, just let me know. Thanks, Ed.
You got it. No problem, my man. We'll be back with more right after this.
They're going to go with Trey Lance on this play as he kept it and absorbed quite the hit. Cody Barton and Brian Monet both teamed up to put it on Trey Lance. And Lance is down right now. That was quite the hit. But on that power run, Lance is down, and Jimmy Garoppolo may see early action today in the first quarter. Trey Lance is going to have to exit on the cart. And he's got the air cast on that right leg. He's being carted off the field. Off the play fake. Garoppolo, he's got a tight end. It is Ross Dwelly. And Ross Dwelly lunging in for the touchdown. Quarterback sneak. Jimmy Garoppolo puts it away for San Francisco. Off the bench, in for Lance.
StreetKings got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at StreetKings. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google StreetKing or visit GoStreetKing.com.
Put industry leading, difference making, and tomorrow shaping on your to-do list. Explore Deloitte Technology Careers at deloitte.com/tech careers and engineer your future at Deloitte.
Street Kings got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code EASY1000 and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
Got hurt in the first quarter, and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Street Kings got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com. Street King. Street Kings got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com. Street King.
It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. Working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
Welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Andrew Pasquini, co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. The podcast highlights content related to the San Francisco 49ers. He is also a writer for Niners Nation, which is a website that provides 49ers news. The website is powered by SB Nation. Once again, a big special thank you to Andrew for coming on the program. All right, let's do this, everybody. Let's preview the most important games from week three, in the NFL. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. First up for Pittsburgh, disappointing loss at home to the New England Patriots. Again, a lot of things went wrong in that game. Running game was okay. They had some problems on the passing game for Pittsburgh's side. Mitchell Trubisky could never get going. Najee Harris couldn't really get going. The Pittsburgh offense didn't get going until late in the game, but New England was very sharp on the defensive side, and Mac Jones got going in this game as well. So as far as Pittsburgh is concerned, they're going to be facing a division rival in the Cleveland Browns, the NFC North rival, Cleveland Browns. Cleveland coming off of a tough loss to the New York Jets, and I know Cleveland, they're going to have a lot to play for. Jacoby Brissett, of course, that running tandem led by Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Amari Cooper is going to be ready as well. And Myles Garrett is expected to play in this game. Now, Jadeveon Clowney will not play in the Thursday night matchup. But, you know, Steelers and Browns, these two teams have had a history for so long playing in the AFC North. And I tell you one thing, this game is going to be outstanding. Great game for Thursday night. We've had some great Thursday night games so far this year. And I think Steelers and Browns, again, I mentioned earlier in the program, that we've been treated to a lot of rivalry games so far very early in the NFL season. Normally in years past, we don't start seeing the rivalry games until middle and the latter part of the season. But Steelers and Browns, Thursday night is going to be hard-nosed. It's going to be no nonsense. The crowd is going to be rocking in Cleveland. Of course, Pittsburgh, I believe the distance from Pittsburgh to Cleveland, both cities are 2 hours away from one another. And so this is going to be a fantastic one. It's going to be a great one in the AFC North between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Next most important game that we have is going to be the Buffalo Bills going up against the Miami Dolphins. Buffalo rocked and rolled the Tennessee Titans on Monday night. Josh Allen, I know it's early. He's an MVP candidate. Stephon Diggs is an MVP candidate, playing well defensively. Buffalo is clicking on all cylinders right now. And how about the surprise of the Miami Dolphins? Tua Tagovailoa has really benefited tremendously from the trade that happened between Kansas City and Miami with bringing Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. And also, how about Jalen Waddle? Jalen Waddle has played very nice for Miami. Tua played, and the rest of the gentlemen that I mentioned, they played a fantastic game last week against the Baltimore Ravens. So you got Buffalo and Miami in this AFC East, a rivalry game in the AFC East. You've got Josh Allen. You've got Tua Tagovailoa. You also got Stephon Diggs. You've got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. It's a tale of quarterbacks, wide receivers. This is going to be an offensive showdown down in South Florida. The sun is going to be shining. It's going to be hot. And both of these offenses, I expect to be hot in this contest. The next most important game that I picked is going to be the New Orleans Saints going up against the Carolina Panthers. Both teams, again, we've got another rivalry game. This is showcasing the NFC South between the Saints and the Panthers. The Saints, tough loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. We found out 30 minutes before kickoff that Jameis Winston was playing with a back injury, including 4 fractures in his back. And I tell you one thing, Jameis is one of the toughest players in the NFL. He's been one of the toughest players in quite some time. And as for the Saints, hopefully Kamara may be ready to go for this one. I know Mark Ingram had an effective game in the game last week against the Buccaneers, despite having a fumble. As for Carolina, there's been some, they're 0-2 this year, tough times in Carolina. They're saying there's rumors going around that Baker Mayfield may be benched when Sam Darnold comes off of injured reserve. We'll see how that plays out. But in the meantime, Christian McCaffrey, he's got to get going. DJ Moore's got to get going as well. Again, this is another divisional game in the NFC South, Saints and Panthers. Whenever these two teams play, it's always fun. It's always exciting. And this game is going to be in Carolina. So a lot of New Orleanians are going to be making that trip up to Charlotte. Should be a fun game, a very hard-nosed game between New Orleans and Carolina. Next game is going to be a good one in Naptown between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Indianapolis Colts. First for the Colts, I'm surprised this year that they are 0-2. I thought Matt Ryan was going to come in blazing saddles, as well as the rest of the Colts would come in and do some damage. It hasn't been the case so far this year. Jonathan Taylor, I know it's only been two games into the NFL season, but he's still trying to find his way, in year three for the Colts. They're going to be playing at home, but they have a tough task ahead of them going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are 2-0. Patrick Mahomes is at the peak of his powers right now. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been effective. Also, you've got Mecole Hardman's played nice. You've got Juju Smith-Schuster doing what he does best. And how about Travis Kelce? I mean, yeah, people talk about the departure of Tyreek Hill, but with Patrick Mahomes, he's always going to find a way to get his targets. And Travis Kelce has been his main target so far in this early part of the NFL season. I expect Matt Ryan to have a much better game going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City and Indianapolis should be an exciting one in the Midwest. Next game, again, we have another divisional rivalry game in the NFC West between the Los Angeles Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. For the Cardinals, big win last week in overtime over the Las Vegas Raiders. So far, so good for Kyler Murray, making some key plays in that fourth quarter and, of course, getting the two-point conversion. Well, getting the touchdown that led to the two-point conversion that led up to the overtime victory. And, of course, Arizona winning the game on a fumble return touchdown. As for the Rams had a big game, a big win, surviving a close one towards the end, beating the Atlanta Falcons. So the Rams and the Cardinals, again, we have an NFC West divisional game. Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green. Also, you have, Cooper Kupp. What can you say about Cooper Kupp? One of the best receivers in the league. I'm sorry, DeAndre Hopkins is out on the suspension, but you've got Marquise Brown, A.J. Green, Zach Ertz at the tight end position. And then, as I mentioned earlier, with the Rams, you got Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson came on very nice in this game against the Falcons. People had been talking about him, had a dismal performance in week one against Buffalo. He stepped up his game in the win over the Falcons. Tyler Higbee played well in his contest as well. So for the Rams are definitely going to bring the heat. Their defense is going to have fits going up against Kyler Murray, someone who will use his athletic ability and use his arm to the fullest. So the Rams and the Cardinals is definitely going to be a great one down in the desert. The big one, the Green Bay Packers going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay, we saw Tom Brady turning the cycle, Tom, slamming tablets, yelling at his teammates, and it worked. It worked in the victory as they went down to New Orleans and took care of the Saints at the Dome. It was a rough going for the first three quarters, but after the Evans and Lattimore situation and when things quieted down, Tampa Bay was able to take advantage of that opportunity and was able to beat the Saints in New Orleans. So Tampa Bay handled their business, beating the Saints after a rough three quarters. Green Bay got their act together in front of a Sunday night audience with Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and A.J. Dillon handled business, beating the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field on a Sunday night football. So now we've got a big one between Brady and Rodgers. Was 2 years ago, Green Bay got destroyed. And I know Aaron Rodgers, he's a competitive guy. I'm sure he's thinking about that game, and I'm hoping his guys are going to be ready, because again, they're still, Aaron and his receivers, they're still trying to find a flow. They're still trying to get a consistency as they play their way throughout the course of this season. As for Tampa, a lot of injuries. Mike Evans is suspended for this game. Julio Jones is hurt. Julio Jones and Chris Godwin, the reports are going out they may not play in this game. So Tampa is really going to have to depend on Scotty Miller and then the recent signing of Cole Beasley. So that's going to be interesting on the offensive side. A couple of offensive linemen are hurt for Tampa, but they've got Leonard Fournette. So Brady can rely on Fournette when the passing game is not going well. So Green Bay and Tampa Bay, that's going to be a phenomenal game down in South Florida. Also, we've got the Sunday night matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and the Denver Broncos. First for San Francisco, Trey Lance suffered a devastating ankle injury against the Seahawks last week. Done for the season. Jimmy Garoppolo comes in, very familiar with the offense. They know Jimmy. Jimmy has been around the system for a long time. Again, they can't really stretch the field with Jimmy because not as athletic as Trey, but again, Jimmy doesn't make too many mistakes, and he's going to play it safe. And I think that's what's going to have to happen with him playing it safe going up against the Denver Broncos. You know, again, a hostile environment. The Broncos, they've got Russell Wilson, but that relationship between him and Nathaniel Hackett is not looking good right now. Hackett making some questionable decisions. We saw what happened in week one. Week two was a little shaky. Denver's defense was able to bail him out in the victory over the Houston Texans. But I tell you what, Sunday night, this is going to be a great one between the 49ers and the Broncos. Russell Wilson going up against Jimmy Garoppolo. It's going to be a game full of matchups. Russell Wilson going up against that 49er defense. He played against them for so many years during his time in Seattle. And the 49ers offense, can they get points against Denver's defense? Should be interesting, but it's going to be a fun watch. And Monday night, we have the rivalry between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. Again, we have another division rivalry game in the NFC East between Cowboys and the Giants. Looks like for the Cowboys, no Dak Prescott. Cooper Rush will come in and give it another start. They're saying Dak may be back for week four, but right now let's focus on week three. Cooper Rush was solid against the Bengals, especially leading the team up to getting the team in field goal range to have Brett Maher make the game-winning field goal. Dallas's defense has been outstanding. Micah Parsons is shaping up to be a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Tony Romo has said that Micah Parsons is playing like a Lawrence Taylor. There have been some comparisons of Micah to Lawrence Taylor. I'll accept that. I'll take that. And definitely Dallas's defense has really been on point so far in these first 2 weeks of this NFL season. The New York Giants are 2-0. Yeah, I did say that. The New York Giants are 2-0. And Brian Daboll doing an effective job with his team. Daniel Jones, you know, again, this is the final year of Saquon's rookie contract. And Saquon is playing like a man on a mission. I know it's very early in the season, but if he stays healthy for the most part, he's got an opportunity to win the comeback player of the year if everything falls in line. So again, you've got the Cowboys and the Giants. You've got Cooper Rush and you've got Daniel Jones. How will Daniel Jones, better yet, how will this Giant offense go up against this Dallas defense that has been so dominating this first 2 weeks of the season, especially dealing with someone like Micah Parsons? I mean, what better way than to have the Cowboys and the Giants on a Monday night? You can't go wrong on that. So that takes care of the most important games for week three in the NFL. It's now time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Green Bay Packers going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When you think of Green Bay and Tampa Bay, the first thing that comes to my mind is quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. The last time these two teams played each other was in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago at Lambeau Field. You know, it was cold, the frozen tundra, and Tampa Tom handled his business. It was a tough game. Both quarterbacks played pretty well, but in the end, Tom Brady handled his business. Aaron Rodgers was shut down by Tampa's defense. And we know what happened after that. Tampa makes his way to the Super Bowl, handled their business beating Kansas City. So now we don't know how many more opportunities we're going to see of Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. But in the meantime, let's enjoy it while we have it. I think at the end of the day, we talk about defenses, we talk about running game and wide receivers. But this game is going to come down to the quarterbacks. It's going to come down to the quarterback play of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Will this be the game Tom Brady will finally get his receivers on track? I mean, after all, Julio Jones and Chris Godwin are battling injuries. They may not play in this game. Aaron Rodgers has had his issues with his receivers, especially during the offseason. And you have to remember, both of these quarterbacks have had their issues with receivers. So is this the game where we start to see a consistent flow between Brady and his receivers, or better yet, Brady and his offense, because his offensive line has been dealt their share of injuries as well? And what about Aaron Rodgers? Will we finally see Aaron and his receivers get connected as well as his offensive line, because Aaron has had his share of problems on the offensive line? Bottom line is this: Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are going to be future first ballot Hall of Famers whenever they decide to hang it up. This is going to be a fun game. It's going to be an exciting game. And I think the league did it right when they scheduled this as the late game, the 4:25 Eastern, 3:25 p.m. Central game on Fox. This is going to be a fun one. Again, we don't know how long we're going to see of Tom and Aaron going up against one another. But in the meantime, let's enjoy it while we have it, and it's going to be fun. The Green Bay Packers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I want to give you my picks on who I think will win week three's most important games. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. I like Cleveland to win that game. The Buffalo Bills going up against the Miami Dolphins, I like Buffalo to win that one. The New Orleans Saints going up against the Carolina Panthers, it's going to be a close one, but I like New Orleans to win by three. The Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Indianapolis Colts, I like Kansas City to win that one. The Los Angeles Rams going up against the Arizona Cardinals, I like the LA Rams to win that game. The Green Bay Packers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, my game of the week. It's going to be a close one, but I like Tom Brady and the Buccaneers to win. The Sunday night matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and the Denver Broncos, going to be a real good one, a close game, but I like Jimmy Garoppolo, 49ers, to win that one. And on Monday night, the Dallas Cowboys going up against the New York Giants, going to be a close game, but I like the Giants to remain undefeated. So my picks on who will win week three's most important games, I like Cleveland, Buffalo, New Orleans, Kansas City, LA Rams, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, and the New York Giants. So there you have it right there. And that puts a wrap on this edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, I'd like to send a big special thank you to Andrew Pasquini, the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting San Francisco 49ers content. He is also a writer for the website Niners Nation. The website is ran by SB Nation as it provides 49ers news. Again, a big special thank you to Andrew for providing us great content and giving us great insight with the 49ers. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. Working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360.
Whatever you're doing right now, software is helping you. To most people, it's invisible, just things working as they should. But to the people behind the code, it's an epic quest. One that could end in epic failure. Or put ideas on a speed run to production. With Red Hat's open technologies, every workflow can be a win. That's what connecting your clouds feels like. Learn more at redhat.com/connectclouds.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. Working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360.
Whatever you're doing right now, software is helping you. To most people, it's invisible, just things working as they should. But to the people behind the code, it's an epic quest. One that could end in epic failure. Or put ideas on a speed run to production. With Red Hat's open technologies, every workflow can be a win. That's what connecting your clouds feels like. Learn more at redhat.com/connectclouds.
Satsuma IPA, made with local Satsumas. How local? Local is beating the heat like it was an Atlanta football team. Try Satsuma IPA from Faubourg Brewery. The New Orleans way to IPA.
A Cadillac is more than a statement. It's a celebration of self-expression. So, stand out in unmistakable SUVs like the iconic Escalade. Or set yourself apart in dynamic sedans like the refined CT5. Choose to be bold and choose yourself. Visit your showroom today. Cadillac. Be iconic. Visit your local Cadillac dealer today.